Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
As many of you will know, the Belfast solicitor Pat Finucane was murdered in his home in 1989 in front of his family by loyalist paramilitaries acting in collusion with elements within the British security services. Despite the admission of collusion and a formal apology from the British Prime Minister David Cameron in 2011, the UK government has repeatedly refused to allow an independent public inquiry into the circumstances of Pat's murder. That's despite huge pressure from the Irish government, the UK Labour Party, senior American officials and international human rights bodies. Last week, the Northern Secretary, Brandon Lewis, told the Finucane family that now is not the time for such an inquiry. Well, I'm joined now on the line from Belfast by Pat's wife, Geraldine, and from Dublin by his son, Michael, who is himself a lawyer and a member of the Irish Human Rights Commission. Good morning to you both, especially to you, Geraldine.
Good morning. Good morning.
Michael, can I start with you? This has been a decades-long battle for your family. What reason were you given for being refused an independent inquiry at this time?
Good morning, Miriam. We were given two reasons. We were told that an inquiry wasn't going to happen at this time because the PSNI had investigations that they were still carrying out and needed to complete, and also that some matters had been referred to the police ombudsman. This was surprising because it was our view that the police investigations in the case had concluded some time ago. And it was even more surprising when less than an hour after our meeting with the Secretary of State, the Chief Constable of the Police Service of Northern Ireland, Simon Burden, issued a statement saying that his organisation was not carrying out any investigations and had no new lines of inquiry in the case. So that really seems to contradict quite flatly the assertions of the Secretary of State, and I think only really compounded our sense of frustration and anger that the British government was swerving around its responsibilities in the case and really didn't seem to be taking us seriously.
Do I sense, Michael, you weren't surprised about this decision?
Not surprised, no. But it's extremely frustrating for us because we had been involved in litigation for quite a number of years following the decision by the previous Prime Minister David Cameron not to have a public inquiry in the case. He instituted a paper review by a government-appointed QC, and that published its findings in 2012. And we've been kind of involved in litigation since then. But that culminated in a successful ruling in our favour by the UK Supreme Court in 2019. Now, I don't think the British government really cares that much about us any more than any other family affected or haunted in some cases by issues of the past. I think their record on legacy has been appalling, but one would think that they would at least feel strongly enough about their own reputation that they wouldn't flatly ignore the implications of their own Supreme Court's ruling. But that, it seems, is exactly what they have done.
And Geraldine, do you see any value or use to the PSNI and Ombudsman carrying out any further inquiries?
Simple answer to that is no. As far as I'm aware, the Ombudsman is only allowed to investigate police matters. And our case, as has been widely publicised, involves state agencies, MI5, Army units, and the Ombudsman has no power to investigate all that, and apart from the fact that the Ombudsman has also stated that he doesn't have any resources to look at anything to do with our case. So, frankly, you know, this is something so important. It has been looked at by a retired Supreme Court judge from Canada. It has been looked at by an eminent QC. The Supreme Court has said that none of that is satisfactory. So what does Brandon Lewis say? Oh, sure, we'll hand it back to the police. They can sort it out. Mm. It's not that simple.
Pat, of course, died, Geraldine, in 89. How early did you start questioning the nature of the investigations into his death, you know, and the possibility of collusion?
Immediately. There were questions right from the start. Pat had been receiving threats via his clients, which started off as derogatory comments about, you know, his dress and stuff like that, and escalated into death threats. Get a new solicitor, yours isn't going to be around for much longer. And Pat noted this all down on the legal forms that he used when he was in seeing his clients. And I think he perhaps thought they were interrogation techniques to frighten the client as opposed to something directed at him specifically. And then also, three and a half weeks before Pat was murdered, Douglas Hogg made the infamous statement under parliamentary privilege saying that some solicitors in the North were unduly sympathetic to the IRA. And, I mean, that was a shock at the time. I can still remember it clearly, even though it was so long ago. But before we had time to do anything, or Pat was dead. So we immediately started asking questions, you know, who had briefed Douglas Hogg to say these things? And just gradually, I think it took really quite a lot of time before I realised that this was much more than just about the murder of one man.
And I've been privileged, Geraldine, to speak to you a number of times down the years as you have continued your campaign. Do you still get angry, upset when you encounter this kind of hurdle to the truth?
Well, I've actually managed, now it's taken me all week, but I have actually managed to calm down after that meeting on Monday. And when you sort of can take a step back and look at it, not only what he said was insulting, but the way that he told us was, it just added insult to injury. We were supposed to have the meeting with him at 12 o'clock on Monday. And my daughter and I were going to the area where we were going to have the Zoom meeting. And when we got there, they said, oh, he's put it off. I said, what? What do you mean he's put it off? Oh, he's not doing it to 4 o'clock now. So he gave us the excuse that he had to speak in Parliament. I think perhaps it had been arranged for 2 o'clock, but they'd moved it to 5:15. So that's why he moved our meeting. Now, there was absolutely no reason why he couldn't have had our meeting at 12 and then gone to speak in Parliament at 5:15. There was no need for that. So I had to go home, hang around for a couple of hours, and then go back to do the meeting at 4 o'clock. And when we were doing the Zoom meeting, he was sitting at the end of a very long table, so far away that if I hadn't known it was him, I couldn't have recognised him. And, of course, hindsight is a wonderful thing. I really should have said to him, you know, I'm getting to be an old person now and my eyesight's not great and my hearing's not good. Could you come closer so that I can see you and listen to you? So it was delivered in this callous sort of manner. I mean, he must have known that we would have been extremely upset and angry at what he was going to say. But to actually not even care about how he told us, yeah, you know, it all you know, perhaps some people might say, well, sure, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. It's how you treat people. And I think he treated us extremely poorly.
So sorry about that, Geraldine. Michael, what do you think is the reason for this? I mean, you're a lawyer yourself. Is it like, you know, Peter Robinson writing, you know, in the Telegraph, that line, to hold an inquiry for one murder while ignoring thousands of others? And I note our own news today, Michael, RT News and the Sunday Independent, I'm just going to read this, are both reporting that Arlene Foster has written to the Taoiseach pointing out that there are unanswered questions relating to alleged collusion between the IRA and elements within the Irish security forces. I mean, are they trying to say it was just all such a dirty war and you can't just signal out one inquiry? Is that what they're trying to do?
I think that's one excuse. I think the other excuse is cost and time and resources and things like that. But the reason why my family, I think, and the many people who support us worldwide don't accept the reasons being offered is because they don't engage with the evidence that has been produced of widespread state collaboration in the murder of Pat Finucane. And you have to then continue quickly on after saying that by saying, and probably many, many others. So, I mean, we have campaigned for a very long time and lots of people have supported us. But as much as we're doing it for ourselves, we're also doing it for the many other people who don't have 30 years of time, don't have 30 years of resources, don't have 30 years of help and experience. I mean, I'm a solicitor. My brother's a solicitor. My father was a solicitor, so lots of his friends have helped us. Not everybody has that, has access to that kind of assistance and the type of results that that can bring. So we do what we do because we know that it's an emblematic case. And that the exposure of the system behind the murder of Pat Finucane will expose the system behind the murder of a great number of other people who I think will be satisfied and feel some sense of justice for themselves because somebody has got up and fought their case and said, if we can help you, we will help, we will do that, and we're happy to do that as well. And hopefully you won't have to sit in a room with some condescending, supercilious English politician telling you from the other end of what looks like his dining room table, I'm terribly sorry, no inquiry today, but you can rest assured the local police have the matter in hand. Once upon a time, the local police were saying, we're going to kill Pat Finucane. But somebody like Brandon Lewis just doesn't figure that kind of process on his radar. But the one great comfort you take from a meeting like that with the current Secretary of State is he's a here today, gone tomorrow politician. We've been around a long time and we'll be around for a long time to come.
Absolutely. Well, Geraldine and Michael, lots of people saying how heartbreaking it is listening to you. Have those authorities no compassion, and that they're saying, keep your fight going. Geraldine, Michael, as ever, thanks so much. I hope the next time we get to talk, there'll be better news. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and mind yourselves.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you.
Mind yourself. We'll take a break.